George is a columnist over at Rents. And if you look on the left side, you'll find George Webb's name. His latest series of three, I don't know if there are any more in the offing, but they're up there. Hillary's Hackers and the Awan Brothers Saga, parts 1, 2, and 3. Before that was the brilliant Dynecor Organ Harvest. Really hideous stuff. It's part of our planet now. I don't know, George. Welcome back, first of all. How are you?
Great, Jeff. It's always just great to talk to you.
Thank you very much for that. The feeling is mutual. I was saying last hour, it's almost as if the globalists have decided to turn the so-called sentient species, the custodial guardian species of the planet, back into something that would more resemble the Dark Ages than what we're supposed to see in the new century with technology and robotics. And we're really seeing things that are shocking. The idea that a group of African-Americans in Chicago gang-raped a 15-year-old girl and broadcast it on Facebook, copying what was done in Europe. Same kind of thing. We're decaying as a society and a civilization in such a way that it's not going to be easy to recover from it. The education system has collapsed, as you know. You know all these things. And it almost seems to me that there is really an effort to deconstruct humankind into a lesser and more compliant and subservient class of beings. I don't know how to phrase it. It ain't looking good. Let me put it that way.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of these things are just basically covers for, you know, the good old-fashioned drug trade. You know, when you're selling drugs and you are marketing them through Chicago, which is where I am right now and in my reporting kind of journeys, it is tremendously profitable. You follow the money in this stuff. And going back to Hillary and Mina Airport, Mina Airport was $100 million a month operation. Can you imagine what the Chicago operation is?
No.
Contraband in from every. And so these things.
They're bringing in by the ton all day long. No question.
Yeah. And it's been, and through the Obama administration, Obama was a good salesman. He got up and made good speeches, but he really wasn't attuned to this Hillary layer beneath him that was running all these, you know, rat lines, these machinations beneath him. And they're just starting to pop up now that Trump's in there. They're coming to the surface.
Some of them are. You're right. Obama was a lightweight compared to the Clinton machine. Wow. What they were getting away with was unspeakably disgusting and evil, too.
Yeah.
Look at Haiti.
Well,
I mean,
we
could talk about that anytime. Haiti is just one of the more visible parts.
You know, Haiti is kind of a place where, you know, as far as the Clintons go, they figured no one cares. So we can get away with anything. And why do we want to clean up our muddy footprints?
You're 100% right. Nobody cares. You're right. Totally right.
Yeah. Where they would take more care if they were in Pakistan or if they were in Mexico or if they were in India, you know, bringing in, you know, supposedly, quote unquote, fruit, you know, filled with heroin.
Right.
But Haiti, they don't even bother, you know.
They didn't have to pay many people off in Haiti. In Pakistan or Mexico, you gotta grease the palms. Not hard to do.
You gotta go to the intelligence services. You gotta work with the intelligence services in those different countries. There's exactly what you're saying. There's a hierarchy of people that do profit. And in Haiti, it's just such good profit because there's so few, so low cost. The costs are so low.
Yeah. But that's how the Clintons became billionaires in Haiti. I'm convinced of it. I can't prove it, but when their organization was named by Obama to take care of all the Haitian relief money, and over $7.5 billion came in, and yet they built, what did they build? 200 little rat shack houses or something?
Yeah. You know what's amazing is this speaks to the generosity of the American people. within 8 days of the earthquake in 2010, January 20th, 2010, almost half of all households in America had given money. And that is amazing.
That's,
to get that kind of
I'm shocked.
Penetration. Yeah.
I'm shocked.
Half.
I'm shocked.
Half of all Americans gave money in some form through their church or through, you know, the appeals. Different. Yeah. And it just shows you how generous Americans are in terms of their caring about other people. But then how horribly wrong it went and how little trickled down to the actual projects in Haiti. And that's the really, you know, I do an open media research project on the web where we actually go into looking at all the news articles and all the reporting and follow up on all these things. And it's not me saying this, it's the people of Haiti who are protesting
the leader of the Haitian Senate, I think, maybe you caught that video. He despises the Clintons. They all do. They were so ripped off. Billions of dollars were stolen. Billions. That's where the Clintons turned the corner from multimillionaires to billionaires, I think, without any doubt. Okay, so we've got Haiti, but I want to go back to what you said. It's almost like we have a double dose of empathy genes, Americans. We're too kind. We give too much. Nobody with a brain should really give any money to any of these so-called international charitable organizations. They're scams. I'll be willing to bet you 95% of them easy are scams, and their so-called administrative costs to run those companies and corporations are pushing 95%+ of the take. It's big business.
And, you know, there are different charity monitoring organizations, and, you know, I think the Clinton Foundation was down there in the D-minus or F. I think it was Charity Watch. I'm not sure. But then the heat gets put on them, and then all of a sudden they go from D-minus or F to, in a day, to A+. You know, so anytime anybody makes a kind of, you know, overnight progress, I think of it as somebody got a
this
a
is
death
like
threat, you know.
It's like VNS, the voter news service that used to announce exit polling and all that. Who set up VNS? We know now it was set up by the political parties. So who sets up the monitoring companies for charitable organizations? The same damn organizations that are getting judged. So those monitoring organizations get greased and boom, you go from F to A+. You got it. Exactly.
Yeah, and what I do see though, you know, Jeff, is, you know, today's news is certainly blockbuster with the Devin Nunes thing and people saying, you know what, I don't care how much I get threatened. I don't care how much dirt you have on me from 20 years of listening to my phones and all my family. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to stand up and just sing out and say, this is truth. And I'm tired of it. I'm not going to take it anymore. This is truth. I don't care what the reprisals are that you're going to do to me with the Clinton machine. I'm going to tell the truth. And that was a good thing that happened today, I think.
Very brave, very patriotic, a real solid American. Yeah, agreed. There aren't many like that. Can you imagine John McCain saying that?
Yeah, or Lindsey Graham. And what that does is it takes the whole, I mean, it's like the whole, you know, it's kind of like I think of the Wizard of Oz with, you know, the Wicked Witch. And when she finally gets hit in the face with a glass of water, it doesn't take much. But all of a sudden, you know, that I'm melting. You can almost see in the news coverage since he came out and said that truth. You can almost see the whole media, CNN, everything just kind of melting right in front of your eyes. The collapse, the House of Cards collapse, seems to happen so much quicker than it took in the 40-year buildup that they've had for this kind of, kind of just inbred layered corruption, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's so refreshing to see an act of just bold-faced courage where he just got up there and said, you know what, it's not about the Russians, yes, they wiretapped everybody, and I'm not gonna let that happen to my government anymore. It wasn't about protecting Trump. It was just about something violated his sensibilities, and he just snapped, and he said, I am going to go to Capitol Hill, and I'm going to walk out in front of those press, and I'm going to tell them the truth.
Here's the story today. President Trump learned from the top Republican on the House Intelligence Committee Wednesday that his communications may have been intercepted as a byproduct of legal surveillance by a federal intelligence community. Trump said he felt somewhat vindicated by information that Intel Committee Chairman Devin Nunes, a California Republican, shared with him during a hastily scheduled White House meeting. The chairman said he became concerned while reading documents that indicated Trump's communications and those of other Trump associates were swept up inadvertently, but in a manner that identified them. Now, I think he may be understating it a little bit, but at least, as you're pointing out, he's standing up and he's saying it. The Democrats, of course, went crazy. It's the committee leading Democrat, Representative Adam Schiff, said Nunes' unusual decision to share information with the president and House Speaker Paul Ryan before consulting committee members during an ongoing investigation was, quote, beyond irregular, and justified an independent commission to pursue the facts completely out of the political realm. So Schiff is calling for an independent investigation of this. It just gets crazier.
Well, Adam Schiff calling for an investigation, given the, or he, I think he called Nunes a surrogate of Trump. And in light of the crimes he has committed in Hillary's shadow,
yeah,
as her surrogate, it really does test the yeah, limits of the definition of the word hypocrisy.
It does.
It's as corner case as you can get.
Yeah, the way these people reverse things and throw it right back in the face of the truth to try to build a counter truth is amusing. They're all very good at it. They're professional liars. That's what they are. They deflect
yeah,
everything.
Well, the good thing about the Sarah Carters of the world, this journalist Sarah Carter, she worked with a group and they kind of broke off of the Washington Times, and I can't remember the editor's name right now, but they started this news service called Circa, CIRCA, and it's just kind of this truth telling. They don't have any real sponsors right now, and they don't have anybody to kind of slam them and say go away, and so they're just on this kind of truth thing right now. And she's
the not one beholden to anybody yet. I got you.
They're not beholden to anybody yet, exactly. And she's been the one that's saying for the last 2 weeks that, hey, there was two FISA warrants. There was one for the Trump Tower investigation in early July, and there was one for the wiretaps of Flynn and probably Kushner and probably Priebus and probably, everyone else that is on the representative from California, Swalwell's little chart. He's trying to show all the Trump connections on his little chart. All those people were, in that FISA warrant in October. And she's been saying this, and CNN's been saying baseless, groundless, without any merit. And today they're like, choking on their, popsicle.
Yeah.
because Nunes has came out and said dozens and dozens of what they call taskings, which are wiretaps or signal intercepts. Dozens and dozens. So people somewhere between the number of 24 and 36 taskings, which means individual signal intercepts. And he's seen the intelligence reports from those. Those are real documents. So you can't, dispute that. So we're in real trouble now. The whole this is a hoax thing is in trouble, that whole theory.
Interesting. She was on Hannity a couple of days ago, I guess, and got a really great great write-up People really are impressed with the integrity there. It just, it doesn't rear its head very often, not often enough anyway. It says, let me get this. Sarah Carter of Circa News is doing the hard work that others aren't. She gets to the heart of what's really going on with the Russian hacking scam. No evidence of Trump or Trump team collusion and Russia or Russia hacking, she says. And there's several videos up about Sarah Carter, so I want to kind of introduce you to her. I'm glad you brought her up. She's well worth following. This, I think, is going to be a very significant player as we continue. There's so much, George. There's so much corruption. There's so much deceit. It's just, I don't know how to quantify it. Where do you start to try to get the stench out of the room?
You know, there's a scandal right now with, we've talked about this before, but these Awan brothers.
Yeah.
So there's, for people who haven't followed the story, there's three Awan brothers who, Pakistani nationals, not citizens of the U.S., that somehow got jobs on Capitol Hill through Debbie Wasserman Schultz. And not only did the three Awan brothers get a job, but then there's a fourth brother called Omar that got a job on Capitol Hill. And then their two wives got jobs. Two of the brothers' wives got jobs. Now, what's interesting, not only the fact that they're Pakistani nationals, which is hard to do, but that's fine, but they also got top secret clearance.
Oh, really?
Jack. Yeah.
You and I don't even have that. Gee.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have that, wouldn't it? So let's give them top secret clearance. And Jackie Speer, through Debbie Wasserman Schultz, wrote a letter to Robert Graves, Bob Graves, the subcommittee on the House, uh-huh. to get them top secret clearance. That's nice. Okay, well, add to the fact that they make 3 times to 4 times the median income of a House staffer. That's interesting.
Oh, you know, my. Yeah,
they make $166,000, $165,000. Even the 23-year-old brother, the youngest brother, is making $157,000. Now, congressman, that's at the top of the scale, makes $160,000. So, okay, that's fine. You know, we've got a family of, it's kind of like the King family, the musical family. Mm-hmm. We've got a really, they must be just really super talented. Well, things start going downhill in January of this year when their stepmother of the three boys, mm-hmm. says, they were holding me against my will. They had trapped me in this house. They were holding me against my will, and they wouldn't let me see my husband, which is the Awan brother boy's father.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, she files a police report. She finally calls the police on January 2nd and has the police come over and say, I'm being imprisoned. These kids are super hackers. They have incredible ability to hack my cell phone. They know what I'm saying. They come over and they yell at me if I ever call anybody to try to be rescued. And as soon as I called the police on January 2nd, they came over, ransacked the house, took the father's, her husband's, computers, and they hightailed it for Pakistan.
These are the kids.
These are the kids. They mm-hmm. hightailed it for Pakistan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what else happened right after they hightailed it for Pakistan? There happened to be 20 different burglaries at different House of Representatives offices.
Wow.
Now, we know from the Wikipedia emails of Debbie Wasserman Schultz that Imran, I-M-R-A-N,
uh-huh.
Awan, had the uh-huh. Password of Debbie Wasserman Schultz's iPad, so he had access to all of her emails. We know they had top secret clearance, and then the 31 different reps that they work for are on the three most sensitive House intelligence committees.
Oh, they scored big time. Big time.
The House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, House Homeland Security Committee, and the Foreign Affairs Committee. So So now we have these guys running off. Now, this is not me saying this. This is the stepmother saying they have fled to Pakistan. We have 20 different burglaries. Now, guess who's investigating? The Capitol Police. The FBI has, for some reason, decided when six Pakistani nationals have top secret clearance and they steal a whole bunch of hard drives and thumb drives and take off to Pakistan to let the Capitol Police deal
with
it.
They feared crackerjack Capitol Police.
And the Capitol Police, I mean, between me and you, are the bomb. You know, they're the ones that slide the mirrors under the cars to make sure you don't bring a bomb into the Capitol. You know, they're not trained in counterinsurgency, right?
Understood.
Right, right. So now this is the situation. Now add to this the fact that the ringleader, Imran, again, on his website, on his Facebook, Lorton, Virginia, which is where he owned a home on Hawkshead Drive, 9697 Hawkshead Drive, he puts on his, and I have screenshots of this on my web channel, on my YouTube, he puts on radical Islamic terrorism. He has terrorists, you know, with the AK-47s kissing the ground. He has all the clerics, you know, with veins popping out of their neck, you know, screaming about America. He has a picture of his father, who is in this a Pakistani intelligence-trained police force, radical military police force, on his website. This doesn't sound good. You know, this isn't the people that I want to give the secrets of, let's say, the next SEAL mission in Yemen to. And this is probably the most covered up story right now in Washington.
That's a huge story, George. Huge. And you've got it. Please, we've got to take a break here. Look for George Webb on the left-hand side, the columnist side, and you'll see this series of three. You'll find him right there. This is a huge story. The 20 burglaries, they were obviously cleanup efforts after these kids took off, right?
Right.
So, whoever's running this knew where the remaining material that needed to be collected was, apparently.
Yeah.
So this is a very high-level thing. Wow. All right, hold on a minute, George, and I'll be right back. We're talking about, this is the biggest story in America right now, without question. It eclipses all of this wiretap stuff and you name it. Who first appointed these nice young boys to these positions? Do you know?
Yes, I do. It's going to be through Hillary, but the first, Imran, he's the oldest one, is 36, and he got appointed in 2004.
Uh-huh.
And he's actually installed through the DNC through Terry McAuliffe. Terry McAuliffe was the DNC chairman in 2004. He's now the governor of Virginia. As you know, everybody knows, he's kind of like he had the position of Debbie Wasserman Schultz. And the deal was, I mean, I'm just going to say what I believe the actual deal was.
Sure.
He goes to three different representatives and says, hey, kick in $55,000 for this spy that we're going to bring in to hack for us, for the DNC, and we'll make it up to you at election time. And they just basically recreated or redid that little cookie cutter deal. So they kept going to three reps and said, hey, kick in $50,000 as a shared or $55,000 as a shared thing. This guy, you'll never see this guy, but you know, we'll have him do hacks because he's trained in Pakistan, and then we'll make it up to you with $60,000 or whatever the deal was, whatever the quid pro quo was at election time.
What corruption? And, unbelievable. And they probably didn't have much trouble getting the money.
Oh no! I mean, paying one congressional staffer. You know, I've looked at all these congressional staffer salaries over the last months. It's hard to get to $60,000. You know, the congressional staffers are working there because they've you know, typically believe in the candidate and believe in the cause and so forth, Democrat and Republican. But to get to $160,000 as a 22-year-old is just unheard of. And I've talked to Cynthia McKinney and other, you know, former congressmen, and they say, just to be hired as a foreign national, you know, as a congressional staffer with access to secret information, but it is just almost like, you know, threading the eye of, you know, the needle in a sandstorm. You know, I'm just...
Well, it doesn't happen. And they got, again, just for our listeners, they got top security clearance.
Top security clearance, secure compartmentalized information. And the significance of secure compartmentalized information is those are the programs or those are the operations that the Navy SEALs run. Mm-hmm. Or the, you know, the drone program and so forth. So if you had access to that, you could warn ISIS and so forth to not be, you know, like Osama bin Laden, not to be somewhere where there's a drone strike. That's one thing. That's warning your people that you feel, you know, wronged your people. Okay, I understand that. But where it really cycled up was when we started going to now endangering U.S. operations. So, and I believe this happened right before the Iwans left. And I show it on my YouTube channel. I show Imran Awan's actual ticket, a train ticket that he posted on his website to Lahore, Pakistan on the 27th of January. But I believe the last operation they did was to give information about the Navy SEAL that was killed in Yemen. And that's what led to the shoot down of that helicopter. And the death of that, you know, we all remember the widow, you know, crying at the...
Well, that's, Trump went to the funeral or whatever, and they brought him back.
So that's one bookend.
So this is Hillary's dirty work. This is a Hillary machine that you're talking about.
Yeah, it is.
Ugly.
And that is a... When you bring operatives in, and the CIA, admittedly, has done this for years and years, where they take a group from outside and bring a group in, and they don't have the same values, and you control them. They can be your, you know, operatives. Mm-hmm. So admittedly, they've done that. But Hillary has she just turns it up to a level where it doesn't have any judgment, and it's just turned up to a level that is beyond the pale. And I'll go back. Now, these are wands now. Now, this group of four brothers and two wives, they're working for supposedly three different representatives at a time. They're making $160,000 a year. But wait, you know, that doesn't keep them busy enough. Between all of them, they have 22 different corporations. They have several rental car companies. They have several housing companies.
What do they do with these corporate? They own them?
They own them, and they all seem to have really poor record keeping. They all seem to get loans. And for instance, the house credit union.
So they leveraged them all, maxed them out, and they beat out of town, and those companies are probably all sitting in red ink right now.
Correct. And I looked at all of the 22, and the pattern is they run them for 16 months, and then they crater they collapse the company after 16 months, which is typically five quarters, and then the sixth quarter, the sheriff's coming out to you know, cut the locks and seize the assets, and then they move the assets. And so I show a pattern from 2011 to 2016, where they went through these 22 companies and bankruptcies, where they've done all these deals with people, you know, et cetera, and these cutout companies. Well, what really, really troubles me is the events around late July, the last week of July 2011. And if you are a student of history, let's just say, and you look back into the drug trade, the CIA initiated a drug trade with a guy named Lucky Luciano, a mobster in New York.
Oh, yeah.
And the drug trade was, we're going to bring in Turkish heroin, we're going to refine it, we're going to refine it in Italy, we're going to bring in the heroin to Cuba, Havana, we're going to put it in wax oranges, so we're going to have some real oranges, we're going to have wax oranges, and we're going to put the wax oranges in the middle of the crate, and we're going to put on the outside, we're going to put the real oranges, United Fruit Company, and we're going to send that heroin, and this is we're going to send it to Harlem, and we're going to send it to New Orleans, we're going to send it to different ports, Miami especially, and this is called the Havana Conference of 1946. It's in The Godfather, if you ever... You might remember the scene where the guy stands up and, you know, Don Corleone, you know, Marlon Brando says, I don't like this narcotics. And the other guy says, well, it's so profitable. I don't want it near schools. I don't want it near, you know, whatever, kids. You know, they're having that kind of conversation. Yeah, that moral conversation.
Right.
That is the famous Lucky Luciano oranges. Well,
Luciano was deported. For those of you who don't know, and he was deported back to Italy. Oop, lost George. Are you there, George?
I am there.
Okay, we got hit with a DOS attack. The information's too hot. They wanted to mess it up.
Well, this happens a lot, but man, I tell you, with this drug trade thing, with the bringing in of this fruit that's laced with heroin. Heroin is the same value, and most people don't, you know, think of it this way, but heroin is the same value by weight as gold.
Oh, now I see it all. That takes on a whole new dimension now. Interesting.
Same value by weight as diamonds. You know, the money is so overwhelming that systems have been designed in place to make sure that these rat lines are not discovered. And
you know,
that's why a DDoS attack makes a lot of sense.
The other thing, we've got hackers out there. It could be the Awan brothers' remnants doing it. Who knows? Now, this is a huge story. It points right back to the Clintons one more time. Easily the most corrupt people in probably modern political history in this country. I don't see anybody who can come close. They didn't even hide it at the end. Can you imagine if she had been allowed to go into the White House and the Oval Office and put Bill in charge of our economy, the theft that would have gone on? It would have made the Clinton Foundation and her as Secretary of State look like a Boy Scout. They would have just had a field day with this stuff.
Yeah, well, so one of the things I talk about in my series, and this is, again, you know, firsthand reporting, is these Gulen schools, G-U-L-E-N schools.
Gulen, yeah, he was involved supposedly with the coup in Turkey.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. So for those who don't know who Fethullah Gulen is, G-U-L-E-N, the CIA used him to do the soft coups, or the, you know, kind of getting ready for the coup, kind of cutting the supports out from under different governments in about 14 different countries. After the Soviet Union fell, he ran a whole bunch of schools in these stands, you know, Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan and all those. And what the modus operandi was is they would put in these English teachers. It was the cover. Well, the English teachers were actually had diplomatic passports. The English teachers had, you know, training and all this, you know, intelligence work and so forth. And anyway, they managed to fell, all these different governments in Central Asia. And then they moved on to other countries. And Turkey was one of those countries where there was a huge infiltration of especially the police force, but also political, the publishing business and so forth. Well, anyway, Erdogan, the current prime minister of Turkey, and Gulen had a falling out about 2 years ago about the drug rat line, rat line from Pakistan to to Turkey. And Gulen, with Hillary's backing, been a longtime Hillary supporter, tried this coup on July the 15th, of last year, which obviously failed. And so Gulen is kind of this CIA prop that has been used to destabilize governments for the last, you know, since he's been in the United States since 1999, but he's been a kind of a CIA prop since 1980. He has schools in 100 countries, and there are over 150 schools in the United States.
What are these schools supposedly, what are they profiled like? What are they?
Well, they're charter schools, and at the under 13-year-old, you know, up until the grade school level, they're very innocuous. They have a math and science focus. They want, you know, the kids to become doctors. They have a lot of interactive science experiment classes and so forth. I went to one today. I went to visit the headquarters today.
Huh.
And everything is very good. You know, they bring in a lot of great folks from, you know, technical education folks. The problem is that you still have this layer at the top, this kind of political layer, which is these, what I call English teachers. So why would you bring in someone from Turkey to the United States here in Chicago to the concept schools to teach English when I speak native English, my kids speak native English.
Yeah.
English is your second language, but yet you have all these people on your staff as English teachers. What those people are translators for the political operatives. And the political operatives are the ones that are Turkish that are running these drug rat lines.
Mm-hmm.
The drug rat lines are paying for these schools.
Oh.
And they can't even speak a word of English. And in a 3-minute visit to the concept schools here in Des Plaines, Illinois today, I saw all four layers. I saw the nice receptionist. I saw the really nice science teacher from, I don't know where he was from, a Muslim guy. But then I saw the guy who was the interpreter, the English, Turkish interpreter. And then I saw the guy who's smoking 28 Turkish cigarettes out in the parking lot that doesn't speak a word of English, that's running the rat line for the Pakistani...
125 of them.
Yeah.
All over the country. That's quite a distribution setup, yeah.
And mainly in Texas was where they started, but they then went to the Midwest. So there's a huge amount in Ohio, Michigan, Illinois is a big, Pennsylvania is where, Feta Gulen, as a matter of fact, it lives in Pennsylvania in a huge compound. It's just, you know, it's got, you know, guards all around it and so forth in the Pocono Mountains. And the reason why he never leaves his compound is he's a marked man. I mean, after he tried to kill Erdogan, wants to kill him.
What I want to know is how Erdogan got in that jet and was, there were two Turkish Air Force jets behind his private jet and they didn't shoot him down. And I read one story where the pilot had his finger on the button, but somehow didn't push it. I don't know if it's true.
It's true. And the true story is, I'm just giving you my take, which is Putin gave him the warning and said the coup's coming. So that's how he was able to escape it and be able to do the counter coup. Some people say, well, no, it's all planned. You know, Gulen is working with Erdogan, and it was just Erdogan is purged.
Hundreds of thousands of people, I think. Several hundred thousand.
Yeah. With torture and everything, so if they were together in on this, it's very stupid.
Right.
Yeah, but the thing about Gulen is he has $43 billion in Malaysia bank accounts. Now, There's no registration of any of the money through any of the world financial system, no SWIFT transaction network traces and so forth. Somehow, he just has $43 billion. Now,
how did you find that out? Was that hard to find out?
I just quote New York Times and so
right.
forth.
Okay, good.
But, you know, people can fact check me. People can fact check me. But
oh, I'm not disputing it. I'm just curious. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. But you don't get $43 billion selling falafels.
No.
You know?
Or yogurt.
You know.
Doesn't happen.
Or yogurt.
Wow.
Or yogurt. There is a yogurt guy. As a matter of fact, you mentioned yogurt.
Iranian
there
guy.
Is a yogurt.
The yogurt king. I forget it. I think he's Iranian.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think he's actually Turkish.
Turkey? Okay.
I can't remember.
No, I think you're right.
Yeah. I can't remember his name right now, but he's in upstate New York, and he's also one of these Gulen, devotees. And this is a drug rat line being run in the United States for illegal drugs as well as legal drugs. And what I'm talking about is when you identify someone who has an addiction problem, they try to put them on this Suboxone, which is sort of like this methadone. So, and all this illegal drugs are coming from, not from other countries, but Pakistan mainly.
How interesting. George, we got to wrap this up. 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay.
Give me 30 seconds.
I'll just say this. Just go to my web series if you want to learn more and at YouTube, George Webb YouTube. And every day we take research and we follow the money and we follow the facts.
It's fascinating the way you do it. Hamdi Ulukaya, Ulukaya, probably not pronouncing it right. Hamdi Ulukaya, born 1972, a Kurdish businessman living in the U.S., certainly could have been in Turkey, is the owner, founder, and chairman and CEO of Chobani, or Kobani, C-H-O-B-A-N.
Chobani,
the number one selling strained yogurt Greek-style brand in the U.S. So there you go.
Billionaire.
Unreal.
All right, Jeff.
Thank you, George. Fascinating.
Thanks very much.
Keep at it. All right. Good night.
Will do. Bye.
George Webb. And I'm glad to have George on monthly to bring us up to date. That's the biggest story. That's it. Okay? Be right back.